Welcome to the Punk Rock MBA podcast.
Really quickly, before we get into this episode, I wanted to mention my Patreon. Patrons get all of the podcasts a week early. I do giveaways, I do some other stuff, but most importantly, if you want me to review your music or artwork or anything else, Patreon is the way to do that. Every month, I do a call for submissions. All you need to do if you want me to review something is just post it in the comments of that post. Then I will review it live on Twitch for the hundreds of people that tune into every stream and post it on Patreon for everyone to check out. All you need to do is just join at the $10 and up level. Stay tuned for that post and you are good to go. So if that sounds cool to you and you want me to review your music, artwork, or anything else, hit the link in the show notes for this episode. And thank you very much to everyone who supports over on Patreon. I wanted to talk about something that I do a lot of, which is making fun of metal fans. And I will continue to make fun of metal fans because, you know, I mean, there's a lot to make fun of, let's be honest. But I think that there's some things that I would like to clarify because I feel like I've maybe not represented myself as well as I should have. And specifically, I think it's come off as kind of like mean-spirited at times, and I really don't intend it to be, at least most of the time. I will admit that there are times where I let my emotions get the best of me and I'm just kind of an asshole because I get so fed up with the fact that metal fans, you know, especially metal people on the internet, you know, let's be honest, they can be a little bit intense. They can be a little bit gatekeepy and a little bit punishing, and I just get irritated with them. I let my my emotions get the best of me sometimes, and I really shouldn't. That's something that I need to work on, because there's no reason for me to be mean to anybody. With that said, I want to be clear. I love metal. I've been listening to metal for over 30 years. People ask me if I like metal and they say, oh, you don't like metal anymore. I love metal. So the first thing to understand is that most of the time when I'm making fun of metal, it's in good fun. It's just like, you know, when you go out skateboarding or something, and you bust each other's balls, you make fun of your friends. You know what I mean? I realize that it oftentimes doesn't come across that way, or, you know, maybe people don't take it that way. But most of the time when I'm making fun of metal or making fun of metal fans, that's the intent. You know, just like, you know, you make fun of your friends because you love them. The second reason, which is the main thing that I really wanted to talk about here, is the reason why I make fun of metal fans is because I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to save you from yourselves, my friends. Meaning that I'm trying to help you avoid making a lot of the same mistakes that I have made. Because, as I've said before, it's true. I'm not proud to admit it, but I am secretly a metal nerd. It's true. All this time, I was just overcompensating for the fact that I am a metal nerd. It's true. In all seriousness, I wanted to just kind of talk about the reason that I point out a lot of these behaviors in metal fans is because, like, I want to help people avoid making the same mistakes that I have made that have held me back. You know, it's much bigger than just music. So, like, number one is being a know-it-all. Which I feel like it's so exhausting. And metal people are like this so often. Correcting you about every little thing. Well, actually, you know, the "well, actually" meme, you know, actually that came out in August of 1996, not September of 1996. And like, all right, dude, whatever. Like, literally nobody cares. You know, the pedantic, nitpicky corrector, that is like such a horribly off-putting, like, personality trait that nobody should ever want to embody. All this time, the guy that has extensive knowledge of metal and all the weird bands hardly anyone has known of was secretly a metal nerd. I know, shocking. Like Mr. Frodo here says in the chat, it doesn't just apply to metal, it goes for anything. And that's my point, is it's not just about metal, it's just about, like, how you interact with people in general. Because being that kind of, like, pedantic, off-putting, like, know-it-all, it sucks. Nobody wants to be around that person. That is like the fast track to ruining your relationships, you know, friendships, your career. Like, it is a terrible, toxic personality trait. And so the reason that I point it out is because I want people, hopefully, to realize, like, oh shit, I don't want to be that guy. I learned that the hard way.
Years ago, I worked at this company, this industrial design agency. It's a small company, maybe like 30 people or something like that. And I was having kind of a hard time getting along with people at work because I would sort of like always, I always had to be right. You know, if I thought anybody else said something that wasn't correct, or, you know, I knew a better answer than they did, I would like always correct them and say, well, actually, and I was correct, to be fair. Like, I wasn't wrong. I thought I was being a good employee by, like, correcting people who got things wrong. Well, turns out nobody digs that shit. And the owner of the company took me into his office one day. And I've told this story before, but it was, like, really, it was, like, a very, very, like, important moment in my life. He took me into his office and he was like, Finn, let me tell you something. He's, like, this old school, like, you know, Ohio, like, football player guy who somehow or another owned a design company. I don't know how that happened, but great guy, shout out to him. He really helped me a lot. He said, let me tell you something. And I was like, okay, what? And he's like, nobody really gives a shit if you're good at your job or not. Only matters if people feel good working with you. And I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit. This is not good for me. Because like, I instantly knew that he was correct. Like, I knew that was the truth. And like, he was telling me that because, you know, so many people that I worked with probably came to him and were like, what the fuck is Finn's problem? Why is he always like, why is he like this? Why is he such a know-it-all? I wasn't trying to make anybody feel bad, but I realized when he, in that moment, that I was like, oh yeah, that sucks to be around. What a bummer. Nobody wants to be around that. I think I like this comment. Niche subculture provides a tribe where people feel safe. Critique or misrepresentation or posers are a threat to that tribe and comfort zone. That's right. Overindulgence and pedantic worship of the tribe provides comfort and stability. We've all been there. It takes growth and maturity to get out of that mindset. Some people never do. That's exactly right. And that's the point. Like, that's the reason why I continually point out this behavior. This is a great way to put it. Everyone hates the smartest person in the room. Translation, me. Yes. Absolutely. What a great way to like ruin a relationship. Like, imagine going on a date with a girl or guy, whatever you're into, and being this punisher that corrects her about everything. Like, who the fuck wants to be around that person? My mom used to say, she had a saying, when she would see me being like this, being a little teenage asshole know-it-all, she would say, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And I was like, what are you talking about, Mom? I'm happy when I'm right. And she would just kind of laugh and be like, all right. In hindsight, you know, I totally understand what she was trying to tell me, because this is the thing that a lot of these metal people, you know, don't understand. It's like, dude, okay, yeah, you're right. I said the album came out in 1996 and it actually came out in 97. Like, literally nobody gives a fuck. When you are this like pedantic know-it-all, all you're doing is making people think you're a fucking asshole. And again, I'm telling you that because that is something I needed to hear at one point in my life. And I'm hoping that in the same way as when my boss told me that, I'm hoping that maybe this could be a wake-up call for someone else who needs to hear it. Because it fucking sucks. It will destroy your relationships. Trust me. Trust me on that one. I can speak from plenty of personal experience about how much people fucking hate a know-it-all. Because I know that I come across, you know, on YouTube, I know I come across as a know-it-all a lot of times. And I hate that because I really don't want to be that person.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
But first, I want to thank DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're not familiar, DistroKid is a digital music distribution service that musicians use to put their music into online stores and streaming services. So in plain language, if you have ever wondered how to get your music on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, and many, many more, there's like dozens and dozens of different streaming services, DistroKid is the way to do it. It is super easy. I have used it to put my music on Spotify. It took me maybe 5 minutes to like set it up and upload everything. It's legitimately awesome. I am sincerely a fan of this company and their product. And for those of you who have asked, you can also upload your music to TikTok with DistroKid. And if you want a chance to get featured on DistroKid's Spotify playlists, you can do that by submitting a song through Spotlight and getting your fans to vote for you. You can also use Hyperfollow to get more Spotify followers. You can promote your new release as well as Spotify Canvas. That's where there's the video in the background in the player. And when you share it on Instagram, it shares that video too to make your Spotify release pop. And Spotify Canvas is available to all DistroKid artists. Like I said, as you can probably tell from this, like I am sincerely a fan of DistroKid. DistroKid can do everything I just talked about and so much more. So be sure to sign up with my link, which is in the show notes for this episode, to get 7% off your first year. That link is in the show notes of this episode, or go to distrokid.com/VIP/thepunkrockNBA. And thanks again to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode.
People can be traumatized about certain things and not realize that their obsession with cult music and morbid media might actually be an effect of trauma and resentment. Absolutely. 100%. If you say Tomb of the Mutilated came out in 1994, you're out and you don't deserve my attention. That's right. Old School Metal Vinyl is a real headbanger because he knows what really matters is arguing with strangers on the internet about what year an album came out. That's what really matters in life. The second thing that I wanted to point out as sort of a specific behavior that I see a lot with metal people, and this is not just metal people. It's true of really all kinds of fandom, but like metal people in particular are guilty of a lot of this stuff. I don't know why. Like, I don't know why, but metal people in particular, there's something about metal fans that just sort of draws them to this stuff. Is closed-mindedness. Obviously, like, you see that applies to music. For example, the thing that made me kind of really get turned off to metal fans years ago, so I used to have a blog back in, like, 2008 called Metal Inquisition that was, like, fairly popular, I guess, at the time, you know, as far as blogs go. Initially, we wrote about a lot of, like, old, like, thrash and death metal and stuff because that's what we were into. For whatever reason, like, it didn't occur to me. I started writing about some newer music and like pop punk and stuff like that. And all the comments just got super, like all the comments when I wrote about thrash metal and death metal were super positive. But as soon as I wrote something about pop punk, all of a sudden the comments like turned on me and they hated me. And I was like, what? Like, I'm literally not allowed to like even write about something other than metal. And obviously, like, now we know, yes, of course, if you have a metal blog, you can only write about metal. Of course, we know that now. But that was like, that was really surprising to me. And it really kind of turned me off because they were attacking me just for like sharing music that I liked. I was like, did I do something wrong by just saying, you know, I like Blink-182 and now like I was your favorite person last week, but now that I like Blink-182, like you hate me? You know? Yeah, it was just like, okay, so that's how metal fans are. This kind of closed-mindedness, like obviously you should be open to all kinds of music because obviously I love metal, but there's a lot of great music out there that's not metal, you know? And you're really only limiting yourself by having these genre blinders on and sort of forcing yourself to only listen to and a lot of times they only listen to one sub-subgenre of metal. Like, you know, oh, I can't possibly listen to metalcore and black metal, because metalcore is gay, unlike black metal. And again, this is not limited to metal fans, but they, I think, are maybe especially guilty of it. And it really, again, this goes beyond music. Like, obviously, I want everyone to, like, you know, be exposed to all the great music that's out there, but it's about much more than just music. Yeah, it's a tortured existence. Exactly. It is a tortured existence. Like, imagine going through life only being able to like, you know, this one tiny little narrow slice of all the great things out there in the world. And when I was a kid, I was like this too. I used to think that there was like no way that I could even like be friends with somebody unless they liked the same kind of music as me, which is just totally insane to think. But, you know, when I was like 15, 16 years old, like I just thought like, oh, well, if someone doesn't like this list of 10 bands, how could I possibly be friends with them? You know, which is in hindsight, just totally insane and stupid. But, you know, I was that person who thought that there's no way I could possibly have something in common with someone unless they liked the same music as me. I once went out on a date with this hot girl who only listened to metal. We went to this hookah bar that played R&B and chill music. She told them to put on Slayer and they did, and everyone left. There was no second date. Wow, it's good to know that there are asshole female metalheads as well. They're rare, but they are out there. Yeah, I posted a video about Margot Robbie on Instagram talking about liking Slipknot in an interview. And there was some on-screen text saying, Margot Robbie likes heavy metal. And all the metal elitists jump into the comments saying, Slipknot is not heavy metal. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, imagine, again, you're not actually speaking to Margot Robbie, but imagine that you're sitting in front of Margot Robbie. You have the chance to talk to one of, like, one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood who also seems like a pretty cool person. And the only thing you can think of to do is insult her taste in music because she doesn't like real metal. You know, it's just dumb. So the problem is that, you know, by being one of these like asshole metal gatekeepers in general, having this like closed-minded kind of mentality, you're shutting yourself off to just like more than just music. It's about life in general. Like, I didn't snap out of this until I was in college. To make a long story short, I originally was a graphic design major, and then I switched my major to business. And I was like, oh no, like, how am I gonna like hang out with these kids in the College of Business because they don't like all the weird music that I like? There's no way that they could be cool people. And it turns out they were awesome. And I actually realized that I got along better with the people in the College of Business than I did with, you know, the artsy design kids that were into a lot of the same kind of music as me. And so what I realized is that I was letting this sort of like closed-mindedness just shut me off to being friends with, like, you know, the majority of the world, because the majority of people in the world don't listen to metal, you know? So the idea that you can only be friends with people who like the same like specific sub-subgenre of metal as you is like, it's honestly, is just sad. It's just sad. There's a lot of cool people out there. There's a lot of cool music out there. And to limit yourself like that is just sad. And again, it's something that I see a lot of metal people do. And so that's one of the reasons that I make fun of that behavior, because, you know, I find it frustrating, and I hope that it might help somebody snap out of it. The last thing I wanted to point out is this thing of like forcing your interests on other people who, you know, aren't interested. You know, I understand that when people get into something like metal and it becomes your identity, and you want to like evangelize for this thing that you love and you want to like promote it and blah, blah, blah. But don't do it. Like, if people are not interested in it, just don't. And again, this is bigger than just music. It's about, like, I think it's not a stretch to say that a lot of metalheads, you know, maybe don't have the world's best social skills. And I'm saying this as somebody who's like, you know, probably a little bit on the autism spectrum. So for me to say that you don't have great social skills and you don't have great emotional intelligence, for me to say that is pretty bad. If I'm saying like, hey, you need to work on your emotional regulation, you need to work on it. I'll give you an example of this. When I was in high school, I think it was maybe 16 or 17. At the time, I was like really into like grindcore, like this band Discordance Axis, which no normal person has ever liked Discordance Axis. And I hung out with these two girls, these two like cute skater girls from my high school. The fact that they were hanging out with me, I should have been like overjoyed just to like be in their presence. But the only thing I could think of is like just telling them about like fucking grindcore. And like, I forced them to like, they were listening to like NoFX or something in her car. And I was like, oh, take this shit sucks. We got to listen to Discordance Axis. And I still remember the look on their face, kind of like, what the fuck is this? Like, imagine how much I cock blocked myself by forcing my fucking weird ass taste in music onto these girls that just wanted to hang out, you know? Just, Why did I do this to myself? So my point here, like, when I make jokes about all this stuff, I definitely, well, I don't want to say I missed out on some finger blasting, because I can't say that either of them wanted to get finger blasted, but I may have missed out on some finger blasting. We definitely never hung out again. Let's put it that way. That was our first and last date. Let's put it that way. So my point is, in all of this, is that I just sort of, I want to be clear that most of the time when I'm making fun of metal, I hope that it's clear that it's like good natured. I'm just like roasting it and roasting metal fans because, you know, I am a metal fan. But to the extent that it doesn't come off that way, you know, I just want to be clear that the reason that I point out these kind of like shitty toxic behaviors in metal is because I have done all of them, and I can tell you from personal experience that it will absolutely hold you back in life, in your relationships, in your career. Like, you got to get rid of this shit. You know, you can go listen to Nile all you want. I don't recommend it, but if you want to listen to Nile and Dying Fetus and fucking Dream Theater all day long, totally fine. Go do what you want. But don't be that guy. Do not be what I used to call an internet metal nerd. Don't be that person. You can listen to whatever you want. That's, you know, it's not about what you listen to. It's about who you are and how you act. That's my point. So don't be that person. Trust me, from personal experience, you don't want it. So that is what I wanted to say. I hope it helps. I hope it clarifies some things. And, you know, hopefully today, we save some lives. You know, many people call me a hero, but I'm just a guy doing his job. That's what I think. Enjoying music isn't a competition. Exactly. Good way to put it. Morgoth Beats is in Winds of Plague. And he says, being in a decent-sized metal band, you realize that the artists and bands also hate these elitist fans. Yes, they do. It would kill those fans to know that their heroes totally disagree with them about their mentality on metal and how seriously they take it. That is true. I'm honestly only trying to help. I'm trying to save you people from yourselves. That's what it comes down to. Help me help you not listen to metal.
All right, my friends, that does it for this episode of the podcast. If you made it this far, thank you. Thank you for listening. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to help the show, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, share it on social media. If you share it, tag us, tag Finn McKenty, that's me, and tag Deanna Chapman, that's a producer. Second thing you can do, if you really, really, really love us and really want to support us, you can support us on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you're listening to this, or you can do none of that. And you can just sit at home, think about how awesome this podcast is. That works too. Again, thank you very much to each and every one of you for listening. We sincerely appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freights from the Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective. The only podcast you crank up to 11.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series.
About how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app.
And subscribe now.